Hi everyone, welcome to lesbiasian.com. That's lesbiasian.com. This is Faith.
This is Tani, and today we are talking with Roque Noir, the founding artistic director and playwright from the Siren Theater Project, which creates and produces multimedia theater pieces by women as vehicles to broaden human perspectives and affect social change. Their projects and programs focuses on the reality, dreams, and legacies of women around the globe. Originally from Calcutta, India, now based out of Oakland, California, Roque has a new play, Mad Love, premiering this weekend, October 5th, at the Vagabond Ballroom. And when she's not directing and writing plays, she's a relationship coach, organizes speed dating for lesbians, and does media and marketing consulting. She's a very busy woman.
Thank you again for taking the time to talk with us.
We'd like to get to know you a little better. So how did you get into playwright?
My real name is Krishna Kohli Choudhury, but I go by Roque Noir. I started doing theater since I've been 3 years old. I was born and brought up in Calcutta in Bengal, India. And Calcutta specifically is very famous for arts and culture, but, you know, this intense love of theater and cricket and politics. I started doing theater in my village, ancestral village, where we would, you know, 200 people of our family would get together. And for our goddess to come and visit us once a year from heaven. Mm-hmm. And then during that time, we'll just make up plays and do a few times of rehearsals and then have the play throughout the night. So that's why, to me, theater is something that really comes real-life stories, things that happen to people on an everyday basis. The intensity of theater lies in the fact that is real time. So that's how I got into playwriting.
Really, totally. That's like ways that our people throughout time have shared stories is just through entertainment and like just passing along real life experiences. So it's wonderful.
Yeah, I really believe in generations and ancestors and this world. You know, this lifetime is just one of many lifetimes that we go through. And I feel theater has always been this way that messages have been passed from generation to generation when there was no, you know, Skype or internet or movies even. So to me, it's very rich heritage that I'm very happy to be part of.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. And I feel like it's so cool that the theater and storytelling was just an integral part of your childhood that has become very natural to you, like you said, and so you can tell other folks' stories and your stories and make it an interesting way that reaches a larger audience. It reaches out to many people, and it ties and engages people so that you can highlight certain messages or stories that are important to you and important to your community.
Absolutely.
So can you tell us a little bit more about how your various identities and personal stories has come into the play, if that's related to any sort of coming out story or process, and if that's influenced your work in any way?
Yes, absolutely. You know, like my professional background is completely in high tech. I came to this country after finishing my undergrad in electrical engineering and did my master's in software systems and PhD in artificial intelligence.
Wow.
But my love for art has been there since I was a child. I have been always a painter, a poet, spoken word artist, you know, kind of love doing costumes. And I'm a Leo, so, you know,
heaven. That's awesome.
That makes a lot of sense.
I'm a Leo as well, so I can,
Good. You can understand what I mean.
Yes,
so,
definitely.
So, you know, like stage and theater and speaking in front of a huge audience has been something I've developed from a very early childhood. You know, when I was doing activism as a student, I was a leader of a huge university political party, and I had to do marches and deliver speeches in front of 5,000 people all, you know, a lot of days, organized events and social and cultural festivals and cricket matches and football matches, even though it was 99% male engineering college. Still, I was kind of the leader of the community. So, you know, all these things kind of overshadowed by my adventure-seeking soul when I left India pretty much within 2 months of deciding, okay, I'm not going to be born and die in the same country. They got on a plane, you know, got a loan from the bank, and I came over to this country under the pretext of education. But what I really wanted to do was to experience life in a different way. And even from the first day, it was theater, you know, the wheels of the plane caught on fire, and then
what?
I went through the 150 channels of TV for the first time, colored TV. I've never seen colored TV before. I've never been in a bathtub, so I poured this, you know, bubble in the bathtub, and the whole bathroom in the hotel was, like, filled with bubbles. But next day, I was ready for America. And, you know, the only thing I knew about America were Gone with the Wind and Archie's comic book. I didn't know anything else about America. So I came here, and the first few years, first about 10 years, I was immersed in finishing my master's, PhD, and working in high tech. But slowly but surely, you know, I started getting back into my arts of painting, of spoken word, of doing poetry, of doing theater. And I always knew that at the age of 25, I would quit whatever I was doing and get back into things that are passionate in life for me. And I did. At 35, I went to work one day and I quit my job. I had enough money to survive for 2 years. And I played around and experimented with different forms of learning of theater and arts. And also I became a creative life coach because the part that was missing for me was how to actually communicate with people in a way that's mindful and productive. So once I had all those tools, I got into this project which really impacted me, which was called Liquid Fire. It no longer exists. And it was for queer women of color, and it was about process theater and about eroticism and sexuality. And, of course, you know, by then I was very out and proud lesbian and queer woman of color and a butch.
Woohoo! Yay for queer women of color, lesbian butches.
Dykes, yeah!
Yes, absolutely, man. Anyway.
Had to cheer for that.
Yes, and, you know, Liquid Fire changed me in a way because that's where I first learned how to properly do a process theater. And process theater means you don't have a script. What you have is you have a theme as to what you want to work towards. Like, this year our theme is mental health and wellness amongst women, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you have a theme and you send a call out to people in the community saying, this is our theme, bring in your stories, bring in yourselves, we are going to get together, we are going to meet regularly, we are going to process our feelings. And through that, the script will come out because it's based on our stories and what's going on, the emotions that we are processing through this time. We started in April with a group of 30 women. And our initial show was in end of July with those 30 women, and it was called Playing with Fear. And the focus there was looking at individual fears in terms of our mental health as to, you know, what are the things that stops us from being ourselves?
Mm-hmm.
You know, fear of not having enough self-esteem, fear of some kind of trauma in the childhood.
Mm-hmm.
Fear of the color red, fear of spiders, like it rains. Believe me, from just like random fears to deep fears. But essentially, mental wellness to me is not just those labeled mental illnesses. You know, it's about everything that doesn't make us well mentally.
Yeah.
Just like physically, you know, a bruise is as bad as having some, not as bad, but as important as having some serious illness. So I didn't want to, you know, kind of categorize it. So I invited all kinds of people. There were, like, young people, old people. There were various kind of identity, sexual identity people. There were people, black, white, Asian, Latinos, African American, South Asian. It was like I really wanted to build a group that reflected the diversity of the area. And then we moved to our current piece, which was the next layer of how does, now that we know what are the things that stops us personally, how does mental wellness and mental health challenges our interpersonal relationships? how does it, you know, impact the people in our life?
Mm-hmm.
And on the other side, how do the people we love impact our mental well-being? You know, how does it go either way? So that is the question in this play, which is about, you know, I call it boundaries and bridges, that how well do we draw our own boundaries? Or do we know where to draw them? Do we know once we have drawn them how to maintain our boundaries? Can people push through? Do we not even know where our boundaries are? So that's about the self and the others, right? And then there's the bridges. You know, there are certain bridges we have created. Do we need to keep them? Do we need to break them? Do we need to set some tolls on them so that, you know, people can come in and out with our permission? We need to actually destroy some bridges. Maybe they're not good for us and we keep on, you know, crossing those bridges with some hope that maybe one day something good will happen. Do we need to create new bridges that will make us explore new frontiers? And so in essence, it's about that. It's about me and the others. And how does our mental health play a role?
Wow, that sounds like a really powerful play.
It's called Man Love, and it's from running 2 weekends in October.
Mm-hmm.
5th, 6th, 7th is the first weekend, and 12th, 13th, 14th is the second weekend. And I found a great venue in Oakland. It's called Vagabond Ballroom.
Okay.
It's a warehouse circus space where actually a circus troupe lives and works. So, and it's going to be immersion theater. That means there's no boundary between the cast and the audience.
Ooh.
They feel like immersed in the entire play.
Fun.
They play people, you know, playing on different parts of the whole area. And it is a 20-women cast and crew, all women, everything starting from conception by me to writing and threading has been done by these people. And there's also like other women who from all over the country have sent us their stories. So I sent out a call to people saying, send us your stories of your real personal lives, how your mental health has impacted your interpersonal relationships. So there were like 20 people who contacted me. So we did interviews like this on the phone, or sometimes, you know, they just did it through email and submitting stories through email. So we took those stories and the stories from these local women, and there are 25 real-life stories that we threaded together to make this play. Through these, you know, 15 characters that we have.
It sounds really exciting. I can't wait to go. We're both going to go. And I just find it really interesting for a few different reasons. But specifically, I like the idea of how it's interweaving all the different aspects of ourselves, like you said, because I think a lot of times we tend to compartmentalize everything about ourselves. Like, you know, the physical thing is separate from our emotional and mental, when really they all impact one another. Likewise, in the way that we relate to others, we don't really see how the energy that we share with each other impacts each other, either negatively or positively, and how much it influences how we behave in each and every day interactions with each other.
Absolutely.
So I'm really looking forward to the play.
My primary objective through all this is really to build communities for women for wellness. As an artist, I feel arts is a very powerful tool. And I think it can be really used to build communities of wellness. I have seen my mother and my life change through art. I personally went through a lot of mental health issues growing up in a family where my mother was suicidal, you know, my manic depressive, and had OCD. So my childhood was really traumatized by all that. And through that, I, you know, kind of survived and went through all that. So it's like, you know, my personal journey also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then after I came here, I learned a lot about mental health and dealing with it. So I'm the only one who went back to India and, you know, started talking to my mother, who was pretty much being locked naked in a room, and got her out, took her to doctors, took her to therapy, And now she's a fully functional woman. She has, you know, many of the symptoms, but it's under control. She's happy. She's functional. She's leading the whole household with my father and grandmother. And I have seen that. So I know how various tools, including medicine, including therapy, but also including, you know, energy work, including friends and family and their inspiration and support, including visibility, including the ability to talk about it, including painting and singing, all these things make a difference.
Yeah.
You know, it's never one way. It's everything that feeds into everything.
Absolutely. Well, I congratulate you and your mother on your successful, continual path towards healing. I mean, if only we all took the time and energy to really take a unique and revolutionary approach to all of our personal issues in the same way, right?
Yeah, and you know, I struggle with it. I have depression. I have OCD.
Of course, me too. I think we all do. I really do.
It's not,
especially as lesbians.
It's not like it's a remedy for one day.
Right. Yeah.
My thing is like, okay, we'll have this. You know, people have arthritis. People have broken bones. But that is not the primary thing. There's much more in life where that becomes secondary, and it's not something we should look down upon. It shouldn't be hidden under the closet, just like, you know, queers shouldn't be hidden under the closet. Mm-hmm. It's another one of those things that we got to come out. If we don't come out, you know, everyone will just keep us hidden.
Absolutely, that stigma doesn't need to be there, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's visibility, sweetie. It's everything is about visibility and ability to stand up and say yes. I have depression. Yes, I have OCD. So what? Fuck. I'm going to stand on stage and I will deliver a message that thousands of you cannot convey.
It's true. Also, I mean, we live in an insane world.
It's like being black. It's like being queer. It's the minority speaking, you know?
Yeah. And really, none of us are, you know, totally, completely exempt from any of this. It's, you know, it manifests itself in different ways, and we just have to recognize it. It manifests itself in the most unique, sometimes, and most difficult ways to understand.
We're only normal for experiencing, like, you know, insanity when we live in an insane world.
Exactly.
Right.
And, you know, what is normal anyway?
Right.
You know, nowadays, because I'm so visible and I talk about it, you won't believe how many people start telling me what they have.
When one of us is authentic, it has that ripple effect where other people will feel like they have the opportunity to also be authentic. And I think that's very important in, like, you know, our healing work.
Yeah. And, you know, every human being is a fantastic spirit, right? My core belief is in the human spirit. No one is bad. Everyone is struggling to be safe, right? That's the basic human survival. If they feel safe that they can tell and express who they are and still be taken for who they are, everyone will be out and proud. It's a society we have built where people are afraid to be who they are because of the stigmas.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's like when I was growing up, I had this motto in my head is, I want to build a world without strangers, where no one will feel strange.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, imagine a world without, there will be no war, there will be no killing and all this nastiness. But anyway, I'm speaking too much. Sorry.
No, you're not. Fabulous. There's a lot of great ideas and a lot of insight that you have. And so we really look forward to watching the play and seeing how all of it's going to unfold that evening. If there was one message that you wanted for the audience to take away from your play, Mad Love, what would it be, Roke?
It would be that there is no us and them, that we are all the same. Think about who you are and who you want to be in this world and be who you are because you're already your best self. That's my message.
Awesome.
It's a fantastic message.
Okay. Love you guys. Take care. Do what you're doing.
Thanks. Thanks, Rock. For more information and to buy tickets, check out her website at sirentheatre.org. That's SirenTheatre.org. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, Lesbiasian for life.